What's up, y'all? Jeffy Jeffy TV. Boys and girls, coming to you live. I'm MRX from an undisclosed location. As you can see, I'm wearing my Jeep hat. That means undisclosed location. The reason for that is I keep the Jeep hat in the Jeep. And when I go to the undisclosed location, I don't bring my regular walking hats. I just use this one. It's already in the car. And it's been sweated out and faded, as you can tell. But this trip, I even bought my daily walking hats because I threw them in the washer. And I just washed them and dried them. Not really caring, you know, how they came out. But they came out okay. They survived. And also, I washed my tennis shoes. My tennis shoes and my plantar fasciitis. I ain't said that in a long time because it's pretty cleared up. When I had my plantar fasciitis and I couldn't walk and I had to use the gliders. You know, my granddaughter, she sees the glider. She sees me on the glider at her house because I bought one. Had it delivered to my daughter's house, you know, for the winter back there if it's raining or whatever. So I go down there. I take her down there with me, you know. Constantly telling her to get back, but she's starting to figure it out. You know, while I'm doing it, get back and don't turn the furnace off. You know, you ain't supposed to go there. You always go to this one part where she want to go to press buttons and then, you know, try to give her a ball or something. But, you know, they're going to find something to do. So she sees me on that one. And then she comes to my house. There's one at my house and there's one at her grandmother's house, at my mother's house. Her great-grandmother's out. So she'll try to get on them and try to do her legs, you know, like walking. You know, her legs is only like 2 inches long. But she be trying, you know, she just don't want to stand there. You know, she be wanting to do the leg part, you know, back and forth. Or then, I think one time she sat down on it, or she took them both and was swinging them back and forth, you know, together. You know, they swing independently. But she see me on that doggone glider, pretty much every place she see me. So that's fun. Yeah, the Jeep back, got the car, got to my vehicle 5 years ago, coming up in October. I remember, you know, the whole process of getting that vehicle. To me, it was somewhat magical that I did all the research, ended up walking down the street and getting, quote unquote, the car of my dreams right there on the same route that I do my steps. So basically, I called the night before, put the order in, you know, talked it out, got the order in. They said they have it ready in the morning, so I just got up, get my steps, and on the way back from doing my steps, I walked over there and bought a car. And then when I bought the car, there's a few peculiarities on it that needed to be touched up, you know, minor stuff. So they had to hold on to it. But I wanted it for that night because something was going on with the LA Maggots. I wanted to drive, you know, to the show. You know, even though nobody saw the car or anything, I still wanted to do it, you know, break it out. So I was kind of anxious for that. You know, you get something, you want something, you want it now. You're like a little kid. I don't want to wait, I want it now. And I was kind of like that. That damn vehicle, still the vehicle of my dream. I could say, I don't know if I could say dreams, because at one time the vehicle of my dream was a convertible Mercedes-Benz 500 SL. And then I eventually got a convertible LeBaron one. I took my other car to get maintenance. During work, one time I was like late for work, I had to go get some maintenance done on my car. They ended up talking me into buying a new car. So I went back to work. I had a brand new convertible. not brand new, but a used convertible. Drove it in the lot at work. Have a comic on the door in the back. Showing everybody Jackie was there. I was like, oh, look at that car. You know, I remember that. But the Jeep Renegade was the car of my dreams. When I didn't have a car for, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 years, I didn't have, when the LeBaron, the convertible that I just told you about that I bought, while doing work, one time I was out getting the other car maintenance and they sold me a car. After that, I wore that one out. Put new engines in it and all kinds of stuff. Finally had it towed, took the license plates off of it. Took the people on one license plate off of it, had it towed. I remember driving that convertible, Sunset Boulevard, House of Blues, P-Funk, driving down Sunset, then driving down into the House of Blues parking lot, roof off, music playing, P-Funk one plates, couldn't tell me nothing, could not tell me nothing, I was Hollywood, I was swinging in Hollywood, baby, and House of Blues, Sunset Los Angeles, was and probably still my favorite venue, even though it's not there anymore. So how could it still be my favorite venue if it's not there anymore? Now I'm just looking at a blank screen. Actually, I'm looking at my mouth. I can see the reflection of my mouth in the screen. And I'm pretty assured that it's still recording, even though I can't really tell. I'm just gonna have to go with it. Talk for 40 minutes and hopefully it comes out. If it doesn't, it wouldn't be the first time. So anyway, I got rid of that car, and you know, the Jeep right now, car of my dream, I picked it up, black, convertible, you know, it just happened to be fully loaded, the one that they had available, but it had to have a sunroof. I didn't say convertible, I meant sunroof. I had to have a sunroof, and I want a convertible. That's another thing I was going to say. Convertibles are fun for the first year, max. After that, I barely took the damn thing off. After that, I barely opened that thing at all. So convertibles was fun for like the first, as a novelty, for the first year or so. Because number one, out here in California, the sun is too hot. There's a reason you have a roof over your head in a car. That sun is just too hot. And even in the Jeep, they have a cover, but it's not a solid. The window, the sliding electric window, it covers this moonroof. I call it moonroof because it goes all the way back. Sunroof goes all the way back to the back seat. And it covers that. It's mesh. It's not a solid board. It's not completely opaque. So now I thought that was kind of nice, you know, because even now I keep that closed and I rarely open the sunroof, you know, but I still like to have it there. I still got to have it there. You know, I still got to have it there, even though I barely use it. But that vehicle, 27,000 miles, a little over 27,000 miles on it. Still new. Still, all the seals are nice. It's quiet. Door shut solid. Nothing rattles. Nothing loose. Everything works. There's one mark on it on the inside where I hooked up one of my cameras and it kind of tore or nicked the vinyl dash. And I see it every time I look at it, but anybody else probably wouldn't see it. The outside of it is scratched up a little bit, which is something I said when I got the thing. I was like, this is a Jeep. This is not going to be no pretty car. Well, I'm worried about it not being scratched up or whatnot. But I did. I remember when I got my first scratch and I got the first dent. When I came out there, somebody had got me. I was more hurt than upset. But I got over it. And then, when I was moving those exercise gliders that I was talking about earlier, you know, the granddaughter sees it. Every place she goes, and she be trying to get on them with her 2-inch legs and try to do the, you know, the back and forth, you know, walking thing. I was trying to move those during my plantar fasciitis days try to move those from my house to the other house. No, actually, I took the one from my mother's house, put it on my car to take it to my house because it was there before I bought any of them. And I kind of, you know, used it. I was like, okay, I like this. It'll work. And in doing so, scratched up my car. And I was like, all right, this time I'm going to do it. I'm going to put a blanket over it. I mean, I'm gonna use a car, I use a blanket or carpet, I use a carpet. And the carpet even scratched the car. So it's like scratches on it, but, you know, it's a Jeep. Still looks good. You know, it's a Jeep. It's supposed to be, you know, not no dainty car. Even though my niece and them saying, he's saying it's a girl car. And that it's cute. My niece called my car adorable. Because when I bought it, I said, yeah, I got a Jeep. She was like, ooh, you know, I want to see it, see it. She was expecting one of those, like, Wranglers where the doors come off and roll bar and, you know, all that. She looked at my shoe, oh. I was like, dang. But because of my 5-10 years of driving rental cars, drove a lot of rental cars, all kinds. I did my due diligence without even knowing it. I drove a lot of rental cars. And the one that got me was the Jeep Renegade. I drove bigger Jeeps. They weren't the same. Smaller Jeeps, different kind of SUVs. It wasn't the same. But something about that Renegade, it fit and felt good. The way it handled, it didn't handle like a truck. I drove my sister's Trailblazer years ago. I lost control of that damn thing on an on-ramp in Las Vegas. It was wet. She would say, you better slow down. I didn't know how top-heavy that thing was or how those operate when they get so big. Lost control of it. But we survived. As you can see, I'm still here. My niece was like months old. My niece didn't even know what was going on. She was like probably 3-4 months old or whatever. And so, man, I got that Renegade. I knew the Renegade was the one. I was telling everybody for a long time. And the Enterprise, the weekend special, they got rid of the weekend special. And it went up to $19 a day on the weekend. Because during the week, I didn't need a car. I would catch Metro to work. Because of where I live and why I want to stay where I live, I was able to catch the Orange Line to the Red Line and get downtown Los Angeles pretty much in under an hour. And to have that feature or accessibility is worth a certain amount of dollars. And if you can find an apartment or a property that you can afford with underground parking, eventually it got renovated. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm paying $1,750 a month for a one bedroom, probably 800 square feet, if that. And I'm super happy. No complaints. No complaints at all. I'm in heaven, in fact. I'm in heaven. I'm like, life is good. So I was able to, you know, take the train, take the Metro to work downtown. I'm 20 minutes from Hollywood, 20 minutes from Santa Monica. And you know what? And when I get off work and there's no traffic, I can go from downtown to home in about 20 minutes. So I'm like located, I'm right there at the corner at the thing at a 405 and a 101. So I got major freeways access. I right downtown, I mean, right down in Sherman Oaks, nice place, stuff going on, you know, buzzing. And also the flyaway, get the LAX, $10. International Airport, it's just set up, you know. It's one thing to like, you know, your physical place or your physical spot. It's also nice when the location of it is efficient and it works for you. And it does. It's just, it's a good building. You know, there were some times when it wasn't. There were some times, you know, when there was some undesirables in the buildings, activities that you could have done without on the street too. They cleaned all that up. Even on the street, there was some stuff that used to go down the street a little bit. They cleaned all that up. So I don't mind paying my $1,700 a month rent. I know some of y'all back in Ohio can't imagine it. When I first came out here, I couldn't imagine either. Hell, when I came out here, I was young and, you know, kind of didn't know what was going on or whatever. $350 a month for an apartment seemed crazy and incredible. I had an apartment in Pasadena, South San Marino Avenue. I used to be able to walk a half a block up to Colorado Boulevard and watch the Rose Parade. Had a liquor store right at that corner too. And it was back when I was drinking. That, and even when I stopped drinking, the convenience of having a liquor store there and a phone. There was a payphone there. This is back before cell phones, and I didn't always have a phone in my apartment. You know, times was very interesting. So those little things, and I remember the liquor store gave me credit because I was cool with them. And kind of, you know, set that up and kind of messed over it. But, you know, they let me get back in. I got it paid down and paid off. So that worked. Yeah, my Pasadena days. My Pasadena days. So that's my life here in California. No, it's not my whole life in California. Which started out at the Greyhound bus station. When I set foot in San Bernardino, got on that bus, and the next stop, next place I set foot was the Greyhound bus station on Walnut in Pasadena. But you came and picked me up. Went up to Alberta Street in Altadena, my first residence. Jim's Taco. Jim's. First time I found out what a burrito was, and come to find out later, that stuff I was eating from Jim's was not a burrito, but I loved it. Whatever it was, I loved it. And it was not good. It was probably not good at all. You know, so. But it was something that, you know, I just really liked. I really got into it. Liquor stores there, I was drinking back then. You know, Altadena, Pasadena, driving by the Manor. Was it Hughes? I think it was something Manor. The Manor. The projects and, you know, doing stuff that I used to do back then. But, California life. California life. Speaking of which, today is Friday. You know what I've been doing too? Okay. You know how you get up and it's hard to get up and you feel kind of foggy? What I used to do was kind of tense up behind it. What I had been doing was like tense up behind it. Like tense up and try to concentrate against it. Instead of just relaxing my body and letting it just not be there. I like, you know, not so much squint, but like twist my body up, kind of like frown, not so much on my face, but in my head mentally, to like, you know, make my body whatever, tense or whatever you want to call it. And it seems that might have been wearing me out. So what I do now, it's just, I try to relax through it. You know, I just Let my muscles relax. Let everything relax. Especially my head and my eyebrows and this area up here. Because it may have been why I was getting headaches and stuff. And breathing. You know, you tense up, my breathing would tense up. And I know that couldn't be good. So now I've been trying it. I say all that to say, I hope it helps on me when I wake up on those days when I may or may not feel like doing it. But I can't call off no more. I can't call off no more. There's a good chance after this week, I won't even have a full day of PTO left. And I got stuff coming up. Not sure how that's gonna work. We're gonna have to figure it out. It's in November. I'm traveling. And I won't be able to go into the office. So that means I gotta take PTO. And I'll probably need 2 days for that. So, and then if something go down, football game or something I need to go to, it's gonna get tricky. It's gonna get really, really, really tricky. Or close. So we'll see how that goes. You know, I can go and, you know, adjust the payroll thing and check, see how much time I had to cure and all that. But, and the idea is you don't want to have any unpaid time off. You know, I never have. I don't want to. But if it comes to that, probably nothing I can do. But I also heard this time you can make up. And I have a flexible schedule for other things I can work out. We're going to have to figure it out. You know, they'll work with me. Homie ain't got no seat on this bike. That's interesting. Homie ain't got no seat. Just a pole. Don't want to even think about that. Nope. I don't. So, I say all that to say, California life. It's Friday. Spent a couple days with mother. That always makes me feel good to be there for her, which is strange for me to say. And the strange feelings I have that I feel like I need to be here, be there with her. I'm very not used to that, especially with the way I was raised by my parents. The kids were kids, parents were parents. You stayed in your place. But now my place has shifted, like with my father. I remember the first time I had to raise my voice at him. And I meant it. It was, you know, I needed to be to take control and assert authority at that moment. And it just came up naturally. And after I did it, I went, whoa, what did I just do? So, roles change. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Best case scenario. Best case scenario is for you to be there for your parents and to actually bury them. It's the best case scenario. There's a sense of responsibility in it. Maybe that's what I feel. Maybe I feel a sense of responsibility. And my integrity or whatever it is in me keeps saying, you know what you need to do, you know what you need to do, you know what you need to do. And I'm not used to that, having that in my head about doing something for somebody else or for somebody else or anything like that. I'm being obligated to someone else. Especially at this degree, to where it's almost like instinctive and subconscious. But so I got to spend time with her. I'll go home tonight after working a full week, which I'll be happy. Did I work a full week? Yeah, I worked a full week this week. Yeah. Which I'm happy. You know, since I relax now when I walk, hopefully, that makes me better. Because sometimes I wake up, you know, you wake up, you're like, ugh. And I would keep that, you know, like for like way too much long, way too long as I walked everything. So by the time I got home, I was wiped out. I'd be mentally and just beat up, tired, you know. And I'm trapped all off work. So hopefully me relaxing during my walks and when I wake up and not attacking the sleepiness, but with intensity, focusing on it, you know, make things better. So I worked the whole 5 days this week. I'll get off tonight. I'll drive home tonight. Wake up to figure out tonight whether I want to. See, here's the thing. So you got P-Funk Saturday night, and you got the game Sunday. The game starts at 1 p.m. Doors open at 11. So I want to get there at 10. Yeah, I don't play. So I want to get there at 10. So if I go to San Diego early and chill, get a room, which I want to do just to do, I would go early. I could rest up down there, probably get out, you know, traffic, avoid traffic to a degree. And then, you know, go to the show, get out of the show, go back to the hotel, and then go right from the hotel to the game and go home. But also, it may be more sensible because I know that after the game, after the concert, I ain't gonna be able to go to sleep. So, you know, after the concert's over and things disperse and I go back to the room, I'm probably gonna be sitting there thinking, hell, I could have drove home. So I think that's the way I'm leaning. I think I'm just gonna drive down, do the show, and drive home. That way I can sleep in tomorrow, you know, get a lot of rest. You know, anticipate 3 hours getting down there. Probably traffic gonna back up a little bit because I don't want to leave too early and I don't want to leave too late. Even though it's Saturday, there's gonna be traffic. I just gotta deal with it. And then right after the show, you know, still running off the adrenaline of the show, just jump in the car. And I'm also thinking that if I leave after the show, traffic should be nil, and I should be able to get from point A to point B in a lot quicker time, even Sunday morning. I mean, even from Sunday morning, you figure Sunday morning traffic would be light, but you never know. You never ever know. So I figure I might as well use that, you know, adrenaline from after the show, drive home. It's hell, faith, the show's gonna be over before 11. And I usually don't go to bed till 1 or 2 lately. Well, ever since I started working 12 days, I really can't go to sleep, you know, go to sleep in earnest till after 1. So I might as well use that time on the freeway going home instead of sitting in the hotel room eating and trying to go to sleep. So I think that's the way I'm gonna go. Then I just have to get up the next day, leave my house at 9 a.m., give myself an hour to get to the stadium and park. Well, I can leave at 10 a.m. I can leave at 9:30 or something like that. Yeah, 9 might be ridiculous. 9 might be too big ridiculous. But if I can get there and tailgate and just sit in the car and chill, you know, if I get there early enough, earlier the better, so we'll see. You know, get in there, find parking. I was even thinking about parking a way away. It'd be cheaper. You know, I don't mind walking. I don't mind walking at all. And if the farther you walk from the stadium, the easier traffic would be to get out of there. You know, so I got to work all that out. I figured out, instead of paying $70 to park on the premises, which, you know, has its cool points. It does feel, it's a different thing to pay that $70 to park right there. It does feel, you know, a little something. I can't lie. But, you know how it goes. We'll see. Now after that, game might be over at 4. Maybe I'll be home by 6 or 7. Relax, chill. Get ready for another week. But imagine, little boy, Youngstown, Ohio. When I grow up, I'ma live in Los Angeles. I'ma go see P-Funk. And I'ma go see the Pittsburgh Steelers. Literally. That's pretty much all I ever wanted. Because around all that is infrastructure that's going unmentioned. Job, financial ability to do that, living in a location where you can do that, vehicle, the lifestyle. Not so much seeing P-Funk one night and then the Steelers the next day. Even though Pittsburgh and P-Funk are my deepest passions, external to myself. Make sure we say that. Are my deepest passions external to myself. Lifelong, 50 years Steeler fan. Probably gonna be 45, 47 years, P-Funk fan. P-Funk won jersey, my Steeler P-Funk won jersey was my most prized possession. And I was thinking, is this still my most prized possession? Is my Jeep now my most prized possession? No, my most prized possession now is my data. The data that I've accumulated. That's my most prized possession by far. Nothing even comes close to the information, pictures, data, music. Stuff that I have accumulated. Nothing. That is. But it was a time when that people in one jersey was my most prized possession. I would just look at it. It was so beautiful. It had Steelers and it had funk. And I represented it. And I was proud to represent it. I wear it, get compliments every time I put it on. So for this little boy to really go see his favorite band and then go see his favorite team in Los Angeles, sunny, beautiful, drive down the 405 in his vehicle. It says one P-Funk one on it and got Steelers all over it. It says license plate is one P-Funk one. And license plate is black and yellow. The Jeep is black. And they got Steelers all over. Steeler license plate frame. Steeler steering wheel cover. Steeler seatbelt strap. Sometimes it's just that simple. Even though it's not. And though it's really not. It appears that simple because, again, of the infrastructure and foundation that's already in place that makes the simple things precious. That where you can actually relax and appreciate the little things. Because God knows I got to have my big things. God knows I got to have my big things going on too. Anyway, let me check and see if this thing's recording. It's been a long time. I haven't looked at it in probably a half hour. Yep, it's still recording. Look at it. It's good. It's reliable. It's reliable. I like the file size I'm getting. Like I said, it times out, but I don't need to look at it. And I'm just, and it's probably better that I don't see stuff on my screen. The screen is black, probably saves power and keeps it from overheating and all that. So, and I really don't need to see myself. I mean, I can actually see myself. I can see my reflection in the camera. So, and I can look and see where my reflection is in the on the screen versus, and I can also see how I look in the frame picture at the same time. So I can imagine if I keep, you know, my goatee right at this angle of the reflection, I'll be pretty much in the middle of the camera. So, you know, it works out. My electronics, Pittsburgh, P-Funk. It goes back years, decades, childhood. This is childhood stuff. This is stuff that I passioned as a child. Fourth and fifth grade, when I got my Pittsburgh Steeler poem published in the local mini page. The kids had a kids section on Saturday. I sent my poem in. They published it. People seen it when I walked outside. And I stood on the porch. And the story I'm telling, Larry Dawson was walking down the street. And he saw it before I could say anything. You know, he cut it. He was like, whatever. You know, he said something like that. Like, he had saw it. I was like, yeah, the mini page. So, I mean, the Immaculate Reception. Steelers, seeing P-Funk for the first time. All that cumulates 50-some years later. I'm still riding that dog. I'm still playing that pony. That, I was going to say, is a blessing. I don't know why I stopped. Of course, you know why I started. But it's a blessing. I don't want to call it a blessing. It's something. It's a privilege. No, not a privilege. It's blessing is probably the best word I can think of right now, even though it has certain connotations. But blessing is kind of the, you know, fortunate. I don't know what the word is. Fortunate. I don't even know if I'm fortunate because I worked for it and I was born into the right situation. Luckiest day of my life was when it was determined who my parents were going to be. The rest was set for me to mess up. And when I, not only did I not mess it up, I was able to take it, use it, understand it, work with it, and throw me on top of it to create something completely unique for Jeffrey. I created a Jeffrey thing. Nobody else like me. Nobody else I know. You know, there's elements. You know, my family tell me, my aunt never tell me, you just like this, you just like that. Your uncle this, your cousin that. But they ain't all put it together like I did. Now, I don't want to sound egotistical. They can't. Everybody's unique. So whatever you are, whatever you do is you. Nobody can be you. Hopefully. For your sake. I mean, Jeffrey. Friday. Look at it. It's 90 degrees out here. I'm walking. My weight is kind of down. I've been eating. I'm way off the, I'm not disciplined at all. I've been eating, but I've also been keeping walking. So I'm fighting the weight battle. I'm probably losing an inch a month. See, like if it was a battle like on a real war field, I'm probably using like a foot of ground a month if this was like real warfare. Okay, let me put it in real terms. I'm probably gaining a half a pound a month or something like that. Whereas I'm used to losing 5 or 6 pounds a month. And I know I'm way off. I'm way off my regimen that I used to be on. I'm eating dinner. I mean, not dinner, but I'm having a fairly sized good snack. I'm eating 3 times, 2 times doing work. You know, I'm off the rails. I was thinking yesterday I need to get some vegetables. The stuff I'm choosing to eat ain't the best, but I'm keeping it down. Today it's at 197.6. Usually on Friday, when I'm doing right, I should be down like 193. You know, so I'm up. I'm definitely up some. But it's not horrendous. I'm under 205. I'm basically hovering under 200. I think if you catch me, you'll probably catch me at 200. I may have to cop and admit that I'm weighing 200 after you average it all out. Because when I get home today, after this walk, dehydrated, with nothing in my stomach, hopefully I sweated some, I'll get on a scale. It might say 195.8 or 196.2 or something like that. Knowing as soon as I drink up some water, it'll shoot up to like 198 or something like that. So, you know, I mean, I have to be honest with myself and understand that, you know, you ain't doing the damn thing. You doing the damn thing, but you can't expect miracles. You know, you can't really expect miracles. So you don't, you know, you don't expect miracles. You expect what you deserve. And what you deserve is so relative. Or you take what you get. That's another way I look at it. But either way, I know what I'm doing. Put it that way. This age, this experience, I love being old. Experience over energy all day long. And I'm keeping my energy up by staying moving, walking, keep my weight down. Like Bill Maher said, you ain't never seen no fat 90-year-old. Bottom line, you don't be seeing no fat 80, 90-year-old people. I mean, it's just flat out. It's just bottom lining. You can say this or that. Shaming this, shaming that. Big is beautiful, big is that, big is this. I'm talking health. I'm talking about health and welfare. Forget about aesthetics. What you allowed to do, what you should do, what we shouldn't shame, you know, all that. My thing is health. It's unhealthy. So you're almost condoning unhealthy behavior. I mean, we all done it. Hopefully we do it in moderation. But obesity, it's not cool. And somehow it's become accepted. You know, maybe one thing somebody was saying, the shaming that, you know, even though people try to get rid of shaming, and it, you know, if you think about it, it's quote unquote bad or inappropriate or whatever the new term is, for intersexuality and all that DEI bullshit. It worked. Peer pressure and your friend shaming your ass worked. It's old school style way of doing it, but the shit worked. You know, it kept people, hey, look up. It worked. It put pressure on people to conform. I mean, there's all kinds of shaming. Society, you know, public, whatever, overt. There's pressure on you to conform and to be a certain thing. You know, whether it's written or not. And a lot of that can be seen as beneficial. A lot of that can be seen as being, you know, helpful to society. Helpful to the individual even. So that's how I feel today, Friday. And again, another weekend of being busy and doing stuff. Maybe next weekend, I gotta check my calendar. Maybe next weekend, supposed to have a recording session. Maybe I have a recording session on Saturday and don't do nothing else the rest of the weekend. That should be enough, because I really want 2 days of doing nothing, 2 days of not seeing another human being. It's been a long time since I had that, but coming out of that sometimes is difficult. So I might try to put together a recording session for Saturday. Then after I get them people out of my house, I see nothing. Then see Pittsburgh plays next week. So that means I have a recording session Saturday, Steeler game Sunday. Steeler game wears me out. But it's probably good that I keep going. Probably good that I keep moving. And then that's the 28th. And then that'd be the 5th. The following weekend. 2 weeks after that, I'm on an airplane. So, you know how it goes, I'm pretty sure. Well, you might not, but you can imagine, I guess. I bet you if you put your ears together, you can imagine. I'm kind of hopefully laying it out for you so that you can imagine the life of Jeffrey. What it's like. That's what I'm doing. I'm explaining my life to anybody who want to listen. I'm trying to put together the details, what I did, how I did it, why I did it, the outcome, how I do it, what I like, what I don't like, how, why, where, you know, how it all worked together. If somebody was to happen to look at my circumstances, it turns out that I did okay. Basically, he got a blueprint on how I did it and how it happened. You know you're supposed to wait. How come it didn't turn? The light didn't turn. Didn't get the walking sign. I don't care. It's green. I'm going. I could have waited. Would have gave me a reason to rest. I would have loved to have a reason to rest. But I'm going to push through. I'm going to push through. Anyhow, swinging on y'all. 2 times. Oops. I don't even see myself. Let me see myself when I do this. Swinging on y'all. 2 times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all, the theory of universe, a hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.